Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Are you pregnant and not sure what the recommendations are around pregnancy and the vaccine and what risks are attached to COVID-19 for expectant mothers? Or have you heard misinformation surrounding the vaccine and fertility? I'm joined now by Dr. Yvonne Williams, GP in the Shannon Medical Centre, and also Christine Loscher, who is Professor of Immunology in DCU. We've lots of questions in, but if you have any more, 51551, or you can email todaycb@rte.ie. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us. Yvonne, I might start with you because we've heard during the week that pregnant women are going to get this text message in the coming days inviting them to come in and have the vaccine. Have your own patients started to receive that text yet?
So some of my patients have actually received a phone call rather than a text, and I think perhaps this ransomware attack on the IT system, the HSE, have me delay some of those text messages going out, because obviously if your patient information is on an IT system and you can't access it, it may slow things down by a couple of days for women.
And do you know at this stage who will vaccinate pregnant women and where?
So at the moment, we've been told that GPs aren't going to be involved in the rollout of vaccinating pregnant women, that it's going to be done through the hospitals and through the vaccination hubs.
OK, Christine, we might start with a general question, which I know a lot of people have been concerned about, because there has been a lot of misinformation spread about fertility and the vaccine. Now, will you tell us a little bit about where that misinformation came from and what's behind it?
Yeah, thanks, Claire. Good morning. I think this is a really important thing to highlight at this stage as we're moving into younger cohorts. So the misinformation and where it came from was a group came out and said that there was a similarity between the spike protein, which we know is the one that we make antibodies to with the vaccine, and a similarity between that and a protein that's found in the lining of your womb. And what they've said is that if you make antibodies to the spike protein when you get vaccinated, then you're going to make antibodies to this protein in your womb and you're going to impact on your fertility. So that was the basis of the information that came out. What's really important here this morning is to explain to people why it's not true. So we're hearing a lot of it's not true, but nobody's really making it very clear for women. And they have a right to kind of understand why it's not true. So it's not true because the level of similarity that they quote is practically zero in biological terms. So probably the easiest way of explaining this to listeners is if you have tiny pieces that make a protein, and say we have 1,000 tiny pieces on one side and 600 on the other, two of them might look the same. So it's pretty much similar to any other protein that you would find in the human body. Mm-hmm. And it's probably typical of people taking a very small piece of information and using it to kind of drive their own narrative and agenda. And unfortunately, because of social media, it's been picked up by a number of anti-vax groups and they've run with it. And what we're hearing now is the message, but we're not actually looking at the source of the information.
Okay, and then Orla O'Connor, who's the director of the National Women's Council of Ireland, she herself has said that confusion and mixed messaging, particularly around the vaccine and blood clots, has caused hesitancy for women. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think the blood clots is one piece of it, because what we're hearing about blood clots is it's happening in the under 60s. And we're not really kind of looking at the data about how often it's happening and what age groups are more vulnerable. But I think on top of the blood clots, I think that the vaccine hesitancy is more focused on fertility. And actually, the recent data that said about 30% of women are unsure, those women are not people who are anti-vax in general, per se, when it comes to vaccines. They're unsure because they don't have the information about how this vaccine might or might not affect fertility. And I think that, you know, the most important thing we can do before we vaccinate those individuals in the next coming months is to do a really good campaign educating women around why this vaccine will not impact on their fertility and to give them some confidence that it's safe.
And there is no information which suggests that it has an impact on your fertility.
No. The information that's out there is wrong information. It's the similarity that's been quoted is not a similarity in biology that we would give any credence to.
Okay, I want to get to questions very shortly, but Yvonne, can I ask you before I do why the vaccine is being recommended so strongly for people who are pregnant?
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can add to that, there has been animal studies. The DART study on Pfizer shows that there was no effect on fertility reproduction in rats. as well. So we have animal studies, you know, showing that these vaccines are safe. And obviously we're waiting on the results from the human trials in pregnant women. Can you just repeat, sorry, that other question that you asked me there, Claire?
Just
apologies.
The recommendation, the strong recommendation that women who are pregnant should get vaccinated, why is that being made?
So we know that pregnant women aren't at an increased risk per se of getting COVID, but they are at a much higher risk of complications if they get it. And for your listeners, if you are pregnant and you're over 35, if you're pregnant in the third trimester, so maybe 28 weeks or more, if you have a BMI over 30, which many of us do, they're all adding to your risk as well as being pregnant per se. So if you're unfortunate enough to get COVID when you're pregnant and you have symptoms of it, we know from here in Ireland last year and this year particularly, you're much more likely to end up in hospital, in ICU, needing ventilation, needing help with your breathing from a machine, and unfortunately much more likely to have a preterm delivery. And we have had 7 very tragic cases of stillbirths linked to COVID infections in pregnancy. And they're all tragedies, I suppose, that we are keen to avoid. So while it's up to each individual woman to make a choice after talking it through with, you know, the doctors and the midwives, they are the reality. That is the risk. So people are vulnerable when they're pregnant. They're considered to be at higher risk.
OK, let's take a look at some of our questions then. Louisa has been in touch, Christine, and she says, I'm 30 weeks pregnant and yet to get the vaccine. Would you recommend taking the first dose, both, or to wait? I'm so close, but yet I have 10 weeks to go. What would you advise?
So my advice is to follow the current guidelines, which are to take the vaccine at that stage of pregnancy. I think what people need to understand is that your immune system changes when you're pregnant, and it changes in a way that leaves you more susceptible to things like viruses and infections. So in essence, a pregnant woman is very similar to an immunocompromised individual. So being able to have access to that vaccine now to make sure that they don't get COVID and all of the increased risks around severity, I think is a really good idea. And plus the added benefit of obviously getting vaccinated when you're pregnant is that the antibodies will pass to the baby, both through the placenta and also through breast milk. And the baby will have some level of immunity when it's born, which is why we're recommending flu vaccine for women, and also why we recommend women get the whooping cough vaccine when they're pregnant.
OK, and the next one, I'm 1 month postpartum, therefore I'm at an increased risk of blood clot. Is it safe to get the vaccine, especially the AstraZeneca one? Yvonne, you might take that one for us.
Yeah, so the AstraZeneca at the moment in Ireland has been given to people over 50. So if that lady has just had a baby, she's probably unlikely to be in the over 50 category. So I think that may not apply directly to her. The increased risk of clots after having a baby are clots in the lungs and the legs. So again, it's very different to those very rare clots that we saw with AstraZeneca and perhaps with Janssen. So in another 2 weeks, that lady would be eligible for any vaccine that's offered to her.
OK, and I'm 17 weeks pregnant, says this listener. My biggest fear about getting the vaccine is I could get the vaccine and in 2 or 3 months' time, might experts change their advice and no longer recommend the vaccine for pregnant people as they've changed the advice on vaccines so many times already, Christine?
Yeah, and I can totally understand all of these fears. I had a baby last year in the middle of the pandemic. I was pregnant in these times, so I can understand these fears. You know, and I can understand why people worry when the guidelines and the advice changes. And that's just because we've more information as opposed to us changing our mind. I think the important thing is that vaccination per se in pregnancy is very, very safe. And there is nothing to suggest that this vaccination is any different to any other vaccine that we would give in pregnancy. So there's no reason to be additionally cautious about any potential effects down the line.
Okay, here's a good one from Sarah. I received my first dose of AstraZeneca vaccine in February. I'm a healthcare worker. And since then, Sarah has become pregnant. So what she wants to know is it okay for her to get the second dose, even though it isn't the mRNA vaccine that is recommended for pregnant women? That's a tricky one, Christine.
It is a tricky one. And actually, Yvonne, as a GP, might be able to,
okay,
to Yvonne, better address
will you take that one
for
us?
Yeah, I think what may happen with Sarah, I suppose it will depend on her individual risk and whether she's actually frontline worker and whether she has any other risk factors, whether or not her obstetrician will probably advise her to either get the second AstraZeneca or actually to take a first dose of a Pfizer or even a Moderna vaccine. So that's something that she will need to discuss depending on her individual risk factors.
OK, so talk to the healthcare professional in that case.
In that case, it's a little bit more complicated.
Another expectant mum wants to know what's the likelihood of getting COVID from someone who is vaccinated. She feels the greatest risk posed to her over the next few months of contracting the virus is through someone who has been vaccinated, because she's already quite restricted with her movements. Christine?
So very, very low is the answer to that. So that the risk is the lowest it would have ever been in terms of contracting COVID from somebody else. We know now that we have new data to show that there is there's a really good effect on transmission of the virus. So when you're vaccinated, not only will you get sick, not get sick, the chances of you passing on if you get exposed to the virus to somebody is about 70-75% less. So the risk is very, very low.
Okay, another listener has concerns about the long-term impacts, and she asks, how likely is it that the child could have health issues, learning difficulties or developmental delays due to mum taking the vaccine during pregnancy? I understand that we also don't know the long-term effects of COVID during pregnancy on the baby. Would these risks be higher than long-term vaccine risks? So she's asking yourself about the balance there.
I think one of the important things for pregnant women to understand at the moment is that when you get a vaccine when you're pregnant, the vaccine doesn't go into the baby. The results of the vaccine, which is your antibodies, they are what can pass to the baby. So having antibodies that confer immunity and protect you from getting the virus is all that the baby will be exposed to in the womb.
That's a really important point, because people are very worried about
that. They are. And I think that so that you'll get the antibodies crossing the placenta and you get the antibodies crossing into the breast milk, but the vaccine won't. It's the result of the mother's immune response is what the baby will be exposed to. The baby's in a very privileged site in the body. It's protected from everything, and nothing can get in there unless it crosses the placenta.
And that is, if you put that sitting beside what may happen if you get COVID, where you get COVID placentitis, that is crossing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, COVID placentitis is in these rare cases where the infection actually does get access to the placenta and causes a huge issue. And there's lots of other examples of viruses that can cause problems with pregnancy that we have to be really cautious of. So COVID is not new in that respect in terms of that kind of caution.
All right. Yvonne Emer has been in touch. She's 31 weeks pregnant with twins, and she wants to know, how will she be contacted about her vaccine? Will this be coordinated centrally, or will the individual hospitals be in touch with women? Emer's GP has confirmed that they're not being asked to provide vaccines to pregnant women. She's confused and anxious not to miss out.
Congratulations to Emer. Exciting times, busy times ahead for her. So she's going to be contacted from her hospital, and that may be by text message with an email address, or it may be by a phone call, and then she will be invited to discuss the vaccine at her antenatal appointment and be allocated either to the hospital or to the hub. And just to add reassurance to what has been said before, the New England Journal of Medicine had a study on 800 women who had been vaccinated and then found out they were pregnant and have since delivered babies. That's in the States. It's through the V-Safe study. They're monitoring them. And there's been no adverse outcomes for any of those babies yet. And they're following up thousands of women. Over 100,000 women in the States have had one of the RNA vaccines, the Pfizer or Moderna, and there's been no increased risk or negative outcomes from that yet. So for women who were thinking of it, the data is very promising so far.
Alva only has 4 weeks left before she gets to 36 weeks, and she's just really concerned because nobody's been in touch with her, and she wants to know, how does she make sure that she gets it before the 36 week mark, Yvonne?
I think it's probably worth a phone call into her antenatal clinic, possibly not today until those IT systems are back up and running, because we can't access the records in the hospitals if they're computerised. But it is worth getting in touch with her midwife in the antenatal clinic to see when they're planning on arranging those vaccines.
Christine, a listener would like to know, what should women who are planning to try for a baby do? Should they wait until after they get the vaccine? About how long? Or should they go ahead now?
Go ahead now and just take your vaccine when it's given. I mean, the only contraindication would be is that if you fall pregnant before you get your vaccine, that would be recommended that you wait until the timeline that's recommended to get the vaccine while you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. But other than that, if you are planning to be pregnant in the next few months, if you're called quite soon for your cohort, I mean, those cohorts probably are a few months away. So it would depend on how far you are away from your vaccine.
Okay, so if you are likely to be vaccinated in July, say, for argument's sake, should you hold off becoming pregnant until you get that vaccine, I think is the question.
Yeah, I mean, there are pros and cons. Look, some people don't have time. You know, time is a huge issue around fertility with women and trying for babies. So if you can wait, if you have time to wait, if you're of an age and you have no issues and you have time to wait, I would wait to get the vaccine.
Okay. And Yvonne, just a final one. I'm going for IVF. Should I wait and get the vaccination before my treatment? How long should I then wait?
No, I think our current guidelines are not to delay conceiving, not to delay your fertility treatment. Time is of the essence with that. So get your first vaccine if you're cold. We wouldn't recommend, you know, you often have a temperature within the first 2 days. So not to get it, you know, not to have your IVF the next day or within 48 hours, just to let the side effects of any potential side effects from the vaccine pass first. But at least you'll have one vaccine on board. And we know that, you know, a couple of weeks after even one vaccine, you have very good protection.
OK, Christine, you wouldn't believe the amount of contact that we have every day on this programme about women who are pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant and who are really worried about COVID and about the vaccine. Is there any final word for them before we finish? And I think we'll probably bring you back again because we've had so many questions on this. But just to finish today.
Yeah, I think just the final word to people who are pregnant is to be able to have confidence that vaccination during pregnancy is safe, and there's nothing to suggest that COVID vaccination is going to be any different than all of the other vaccines that we've ever given pregnant women, and to take them as soon as they're offered them, and to have that kind of peace of mind that when the baby's born, that there will be some level of immunity with the baby for the first weeks of life, mm-hmm. depending on whether or not you breastfeed. And I think that's a real bonus of getting vaccinated okay. when you're pregnant.
Professor Christine Loscher, Dr. Yvonne Williams, thank you both very much indeed. Let's go to the newsroom and Vivian Trainer.